1, 2, 3.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs.
Stay up.
Oh, he got loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No.
Way. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Michael Bennett.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
All right, we're coming right back in to another edition of the Scolders Podcast. And never has our intro been more pertinent than it is right now. Just finished up a game against the New Orleans Saints at home. And didn't quite go the way we thought. Of course, I am Ed Brown-Merkel, your host, with my co-host, Mike Anderson. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm getting by.
Getting by. Talked to you off the ledge a little bit earlier. You know, tough day to be a Vikes fan. Didn't really seem to get a lot of breaks. Last night, Vikings lose 30-20, and you know what? We got miracle whipped, buddy.
Yeah. Obviously, if you listen to the podcast, I did pick us to lose the game. However, I did not think we were going to do it in the fashion that we did. Really a game, as we'll get into here, that we kind of, I feel like, we're the better team, basically, in almost every area. With the exception of turnovers being a very important one at that. But, you know, they played a pretty good game. It's just you can't turn the ball over in the NFL, as we've seen time and time again, and especially when it's a pick six type of scenario like we had. So,
yeah, one of those games where I think we played well enough to win, but unfortunately you go into that halftime about a minute or two left, you think you're going to come away with some points and extend your lead from 3 points to 6 points at minimum, and you go in down four, and inexplicably, don't even go for anything with 30 seconds left. Don't even try to get a field goal back. First off, what were your thoughts on that? Like, are you okay with that decision? Would you rather have them see them try and pick up some yards and go for a long field goal?
I don't know. I guess with this offense and the way that they were throwing the ball, I certainly would have taken a chance, maybe. You know, I guess I've always been kind of a proponent of, you know, try a play or two passing. And if it doesn't work, you know, you can go ahead and run the ball and go into halftime. So obviously you're concerned. You don't want to risk a turnover, which I'm sure is maybe the thought process there on why they did that.
Coming off the fumble, you know, you kind of don't want to give it right back, and we're done. Yeah. Don't have a chance to just kind of get into the halftime and lick your wounds a little bit, and hopefully come out the second half and kind of recover, right?
Right. They were getting the ball coming out, and so I think that after that Thielen fumble, yeah, you nailed it. It's a regroup. Let's go in, let's talk about it, let's make the adjustments and come out, you know, and just come out with a fresh half, I think is maybe the thought process there. Also, you know, you wonder if maybe they just weren't planning to get that much, you know, to get the ball back with 30 seconds.
Right.
And so it maybe had already been talked about, like, hey, you know, we're coming out in the second half type thing. I'm not sure. That shouldn't be a thing in this day and age. You know, you should be prepared for basically every scenario, I would think. But a little strange at the end of the day with all the other stuff that we're going to get to. I don't know. I actually thought we saw a little bit more aggressiveness from Zimmer on a play calling standpoint or a DeFilippo, whoever combination, you know. But, you know, 4th and 1, touchdown pass to Diggs, and, you know, we'll get to some of that stuff. But
right, so just to touch on that right away, because it's bookending the halftime there. We go out there, end of the half, 30 seconds left. We run a draw play, let time expire. We go into the halftime. We come out, second half, our first drive of the second half. We're on our own 45. It's 4th and 1. We throw a pass play. We fail to convert. Now, why do you, if you're sitting there and you're conservative in the second quarter, going into the halftime, and you don't attempt to pick up any yards to try to make a long field goal, why do you go for it on that 4th and 1, knowing that you're down by only 4 points, potentially giving them the ball back at very good field position? Like, why are you choosing that spot to be aggressive? To me, that seemed like a panic move.
See, and to me, I think they're independent. I'm not relating those two decisions really at all. I think so much of that is game flow and how you're feeling at the time. And, you know, like we said, they came out of the second half. I think they were feeling confident. Our receivers were getting separation. They were open, you know, at a lot of times. And even on that play, Treadwell was open. Obviously, you know, Marshawn Lattimore just made a hell of a defensive play to bat that ball out of Treadwell's hands before he could kind of secure it. I always typically like to have a running back in the backfield on a fourth and one, even if you're going to line up, you know, line people out. Like
just for the threat.
Just the threat. You know, just because, I don't know, and maybe that's just me mentally, whatever, but I really think it's a good idea to have a back there, whether it be for protection or just the threat that it could be a delayed handoff and you kind of keep them in check a little bit. Now, again, on this play, Treadwell was open. The pass was there. He had caught it. It's just that Lattimore came in and knocked it away. So
sure.
I actually liked the call. You know, it didn't work out, but against that, this good of a team, I don't know. I like the call personally.
Offensive performance in general, anything besides the two wide receivers and their horrible issues, stood out to you?
I mean, Cousins again, you know, 360 and two, passer rating. I think he had of 107, 108, you know, he's consistently being pressured. He was pressured again on something like half of his dropbacks, I think. You know, it's just he's under duress and he's trying to get rid of that football. And yet he's still being extremely successful. You know, they threw to Murray a little bit more, which just makes me want Dalvin Cook back. You know, Murray had five catches for 39 yards.
Nothing against Murray, but he's no Dalvin Cook out of the backfield.
No, and especially when you can get the ball to those guys in open space. Dalvin is, you know, a dynamic runner where Murray is more, you know, the L train. He's going to try to run through you or maybe right. A little, you know, just a little shimmy cut type thing, whereas Dalvin's got a full bag of tricks. You know, I don't know. Nothing else really stood out. I mean, Rudolph, I thought I had mentioned that maybe that was going to be a way where he would have a big game.
Four receptions for 39 yards on seven targets. I mean, that's not horrible, but
not horrible.
You want a little bit more if you're looking for a breakout game like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we had said that if they were going to try to shut down Thielen and Diggs, that, you know, basically, how are they going to pick their poison?
Right.
And they ended up, you know, apparently it seemed like trying to move Lattimore around a little bit, but Diggs was the one yesterday that ended up going off, you know, and Thielen did get his 100 yards, but Diggs had 10 for 119 and a score and, you know, really seemed to shine in that spotlight there. So I don't know. I mean, the offense continues to move along. It's just the turnovers would be the other thing that stood out from an offensive standpoint.
Right. And just to touch on rushing before we move on, Saints, pretty highly rated rush defense. We only rushed for about, was it 85 yards on them? But that's about our average. And if we can do that against that type of a rush defense, I think that's a pretty fair game for this offense right now.
Yeah, no, I think they had the number one rush defense coming in. Was that the Eagles? No,
it was up there, top five.
Yeah, they kind of rotate, so. Yeah. No, I mean, ran the ball well. Murray has done a great job stepping in. The running game has really started to come together a little bit more over the last few weeks. You know, we're leaps and bounds ahead of the four rushes from running backs we had against Green Bay. You know, I think that the offense is really clicking. The defense had started to really put it together, you know, the last two or three weeks at 17 points. And I thought the defense, you know, as we probably transition into, you know, I thought the defense played well for the most part. But it's just, we were talking before the show, it's just like every week it's something for all these losses, you know, and I say all these when there's three, but it just seems like.
Half.
something goes wrong, you know, and it's a different thing each time. It's not, I almost wish I was one of these teams where, you know, like the Chiefs, their defense is bad. They know what's going to happen every week. Mahomes and company are going to put up points, and it's just, can they, you know, outscore their opponent basically and hope their defense can, you know, make a play or two here. But for us, it just hasn't been that way. It's been different things all the time, you know?
It's been week one, the offense struggles. It's been, you know, the next week, the defense struggles against the Rams. It's been this week where you have these turnover issues. It's kind of all over the board, definitely. I'm with you on that. I saw a comparison to this game to 2015 Arizona, where we were missing some starters. So this game we were missing on defense, and Dayhill, Rose, and Barr. And the game seemed to be one where we should have won, and then there's a couple key mistakes that we made that cost us the game. Because we had time of possession in this game. We had yards by a mile. We held Kamara to 13 carries, 41 yards, one touchdown, seven catches, 31 yards, zero touchdowns, or one touchdown, I believe, receiving. He had Ingram, 13 for 63, three receptions, 29 yards. Thomas, of course, Thomas is going to get his, no matter who he's against. Five receptions for 81 yards. I mean, those are all pedestrian days for those guys. Every single one of those guys is under 100 yards. So if you can do that and you don't win the game, something else must have went horribly wrong.
Right. I mean, yeah. Michael Thomas, 44 of them came on one catch. So, you know, I know you can't take this play out or whatever, but they really did basically do about as best you can with those guys. I mean, I would even throw a Breeze into that, obviously. You know, still extremely efficient at 18 for 23 for 120. But overall, you know, this is the kind of performance that you need against a team like this that should allow you to win a football game. But you can't turn the ball over. And we had two absolutely crucial turnovers. And, you know, they led directly to 14 points for the Saints.
So the Thielen fumble, I mean, it's very difficult to look at that and be mad at Thielen based on what he's given us this year. I think he single-handedly kept us in games, and he's probably single-handedly won us a few games. So,
right.
And I don't see this as a continuing issue. I don't even know if that's something you really look at the tape and you go, okay, you need to fix this. But I don't know. I don't even know where to go with this, because the offense seemed like it did fine. The defense seemed like it did fine, but we still ended up losing the game. So,
yeah, I think you know, they'll coach a little bit. I think that play, that's a bubble screen designated to have him stay outside, and he cut inside, doesn't, you know, protect that ball, make the switch over. So there is a little bit of coaching there. But, you know, I think that, yeah, Thielen's going to be winning, or he's been contributing to more wins than losses certainly this year. You know, when you've got 100 yards in eight straight games to start the year, I mean, he's been a hell of a player for us. So, you know, Zimmer said we win as a team, we lose as a team. And, you know, Thielen and Diggs, who ultimately, in my opinion, were responsible for the two turnovers, you know, they're two of the biggest reasons that this team is, you know, a Super Bowl contender. So it sucks. You know, it's not something that we're used to seeing on a weekly basis, but I think you watch it, you talk through it for they probably do today, you coach it, and you move on. You know, you move on to Detroit, and you just assume that these sorts of things probably are not going to be happening again.
So just to bounce back on that, the Diggs interception, So I believe he was quoted after the game. I didn't actually listen to the quote, but I believe he was quoted as saying he stopped in his route to show Cousins that he was open and he was clear to take the pass because pressure was coming down on Cousins. Now, I don't know if this is something that they just need to practice more, this type of drill, so they know how to react and more or less how they know each other will react in that situation. Because you hear all the time about like teams like Green Bay, where they practice this often, and that's why they're so lethal in those situations, those broken plays. So, I guess, what do we see from that? Is that something that it's like, okay, was that just a pure miscommunication, or we're not practicing that type of situational football enough?
I think Diggs messed up. you know, they're everything that I've read and listened to today. When a receiver has man coverage like that and they have just green in front of them, they are not supposed to stop.
Okay.
And had he not, I mean, he might still be running had he just continued to run. You know, he certainly would have picked up a first down on that play, and you know, you never know. He's a dynamic guy with the ball. But, yeah, everything, I think that maybe an Aaron Rodgers type relationship with a receiver when you really know it that well, maybe a receiver stops there. But
sure.
everything I've seen and read, Diggs is not supposed to stop on that. And I certainly Cousins did not think that he was just going to all of a sudden stop. So
yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like you got to take the good with the bad on some of these things. So obviously you're not going to trade everything good that Diggs has given us, especially the miracle last year, to erase that one bad play right there. So just kind of a cacophony of errors for our guys, our two prime playmakers. And you know what? Maybe this is out of the way now, and we won't see that again for quite a while. I mean, that's all you can hope for, and try to take one away from Detroit here coming up.
Right.
Anything else here on this game specifically before we kind of just take a peek at kind of what's going on in the rest of the NFC at our halfway mark?
Well, I mean, I think it's frustration, but then at the end of the day, when you realize, you know, no Barr, no Rhodes, no Sendejo. Granted, I don't know that Sendejo at this point, you know, is if that's really a game changer on a week to week basis necessarily, but, and then no Dalvin, you know, so I think that it's frustrating to know, that we lost, but if you look at a bright side, it would be that even down, multiple starters, you should have won this game by double digit points against what many nationally consider to be, you know, the favorite right up there with the Rams to win a Super Bowl. So, it's a tough one to swallow, but I think again, there's positives to be taken away.
And for me, one of the big positives for me is you had Holton Hill come in, and when they tested him, it did not go well for him. So you have him coming in, undrafted rookie, and he's playing about as well as you can expect from that that situation. Obviously, you know, if Rhodes is out there at this game, I don't know how much more you gain. I mean, you held Thomas to 81. Obviously, that wasn't all against Holton Hill, but you held him to that much. And then you look at guys that are stepping up this year, like Jayron Kearse. Like, he's been a revelation this year.
Right.
So I think long run, we're set up to make a run at this thing. And we'll kind of go over that here in a second here. But we have these pieces. We've clearly shown right now that we can make these games competitive even when we're missing some key pieces on both offense and defense. And oh yeah, our starting left tackle and left guard are out too.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they said they were down six starters.
So that's a lot of pieces to be gone. I mean, we elevated a tackle from the practice squad just as extra insurance because we're that thin right now on offensive line. So anyone listening to this, if you're looking at this game and you're saying, wow, this, I can't believe we're in the situation and we're completely out of this, don't think that. All right, don't give up on this team yet, because this team's got a ton of fight. It has a ton of talent still, and as soon as we were able to put it together in all three phases consistently, no one is going to want to play this team in the playoffs.
I would agree.
Okay. So now, let's take a little look around the NFC right now, because it's not quite as we expected, and not quite as we predicted from the start of this year. So, of course, we got the NFC North. Bears, which are now technically on top of it, has 4-3 record. Vikings, 4-3-1. Packers, 3-3-1. And Detroit, 3-4. This is still completely wide open, and I don't know why you'd think otherwise if you're looking at this, like... I don't know what injury Khalil Mack had with the Bears, but if he misses significant time or that's a nagging injury, that could be in our favor, because obviously he has potential to disrupt games just all on his own. But you're looking at a Green Bay team who's kind of in the similar spot as we are, where they're not hitting some of these games just by the skin of their teeth, like the Rams game yesterday. They barely lost that game.
Yeah.
Right? If they don't fumble that kickoff, Aaron Rodgers goes down likely and puts up a field goal. Now, that's not to say there won't be time for Goff to rebut that, but they're still in a pretty good situation at 3-3-1. But I think both the Vikings and Green Bay have Seattle and New England left, and I think we both play 4 or 5 divisional games. So it's a very similar schedule on the back end here. Detroit, you were telling me before the show, it seems like they have given up a little bit.
Well, I mean, they were, you know, when we were recording this, there's not that, I don't know what official time, I don't know if there's 12 hours or whatever left here on the trade deadline. But basically, they were now open to offers for Golden Tate, something that they previously had not been open to. But after the loss, it sounds like they're at least willing to listen. And to me, that just, you know, that's not a team that, you know, is probably in a good mindset, I guess.
Sure.
So I don't know. I guess I'm not too worried about Detroit. I think that it's a weird situation there right now. You've got a new coach, you know, rookie running back. You've got Stafford there. They've got some good pieces, but it just seems like they're not necessarily going to put it all together.
Sure.
I don't know. I Detroit is kind of the least of my worries currently, you know, overall for our division.
Yeah, so we have 8 more games left. We play the Bears twice, we play Green Bay once, and we play the Lions twice. So looking ahead to that, as long as we can take the Green Bay Packers game, we have the outright head-to-head breaker against Green Bay. So the only one we'd need to beat record-wise is Chicago Bears, or rather tie them in the win column. If we do that, we can take this division, and all of a sudden now we're looking at a 3 or 4 seed and hosting a playoff game. And the reason why that's important is because we look back at the NFC South. Last year, this division produced 3 playoff teams. This year's probably going to be 2 unless Tampa Bay finds more Fitzmagic.
Right.
So you pencil in either New Orleans or Carolina Panthers right now. Probably looking at strong contenders for the 2 seed. So in this scenario, I'm penciling in the Rams as the 1 seed. I think they would have to completely fall apart to lose that at this point. Regardless, someone from the South, someone from the West is going to have the 1-2 seed. It's kind of where I'm thinking based on how this is looking.
Right.
Vikings are in position to take the North as usual. And then you have the East, which doesn't even look like the Eagles are going to be able to repeat in that division.
Right.
The Redskins at 5-2. So, this whole conference is looking fairly soft for the taking right now. I don't know what your other reads are on this, but if we can get in there at 3 and 4 seed, we can do some damage on this thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the NFL, you know, the seeding doesn't necessarily matter. I would love to be the 3 or 4 if we can't do 1 or 2, just because I think that the importance of that home game is big. You know, granted, we have 2 losses at home already this year. But, you know, I think that crowd and the environment to get a home game would be huge. But yeah, at the end of the day, you just need to get into the tournament, you know? So, most important thing is obviously Sunday. Because if you can't manage to win that game, you have a little stretch coming out of the bye of at Chicago, Green Bay at home, at Patriots, at Seahawks. So 3 out of 4 games on the road, and they're all in places that we have had difficulties winning. You know, and Patriots just being one of the most difficult places to win, period. So, sure. You know, all of a sudden you lose to this Lions team on Sunday, and we might be looking at this in a whole different light, you know. So I think it's important that they take care of business. And then you go into the bye, you try to get healthy, and you come out with a huge matchup against the Bears, you know, in what most likely will be to take the outright lead in the division, I would say.
Yeah, so everything's in front of us right now. Like I said, I think the key for us in the next couple weeks here is to get healthy on the bye.
Yeah.
Take care of business in Detroit, get healthy on the bye, and if we're walking into Chicago and we win in Chicago, you feel a lot better about the rest of the schedule.
Yep, I 100% agree. I think we've seen the pieces come together over the last two to three weeks. And they kind of put everything together this week. It's just you obviously have to avoid those turnovers.
Right.
So we'll see.
And you know, just because we've talked about this several times in the past couple days here, you know, this is not the team we expected it to be come the beginning of the season. We expected it to have an upgraded offense with Kirk Cousins. We expected it to have upgraded play calling with John DeFilippo. We expected the defense was returning all the starters, got extra pieces in Aloka and through draft capital. And we expected this team to be completely dominant. Clearly, we have not seen that yet.
No.
But that notwithstanding, we still have all the talent that we were expecting to be dominant. We've seen improvements, I think, weekly on offense. And where we haven't, we've seen it bounce back the next game. We've seen this defense now go from a complete embarrassment versus the Rams to pitching some pretty solid efforts here in the last couple weeks. So, like you said, we need to put this together, stop the turnovers a bit. I think Kirk has kind of curtailed his a little bit, his fumbles. He's taken care of that. But just stop some of these funky plays that have the ability to ruin you, obviously. And we're playing solid football. I think, honestly, we can win any single game on our schedule remaining. It's just cleaning up those errors and playing the way that we know we can play.
Yeah. And I think the defense needs to get back to, you know, a little bit more dominant. I think Everson coming back will help that out. You know, he was a little rusty this week, as to be possibly expected. You know, so getting him back and you know, Barr and Rhodes are obviously key pieces. And I think they got to get a little bit of that nastiness back. And I'd like to see this defense become dominant again. You know, that was kind of our thing last year. And the offense this year has been good. They have been, for the most part, as advertised, and Cousins has been great. So half of this, even without Dalvin, is operating about as good as we would want it to. Thielen with eight straight, you know, 100-yard games. It's if you had told me that just the offensive side of things, you know, I would probably expect this team to have a record similar to what the Saints and or Rams do. But unfortunately, the defense just, you know, hasn't quite got to that level.
Right. And, you know, there's still time to get there. You know, I mean, like I said, hopefully we can get that nasty streak back. We can get healthy. We can get Everson more involved. I didn't see him out there a ton. I think it's probably about 50-50 from what I recalled, just from watching. But, yeah. It seemed like they were kind of easing them in just a little bit, which makes sense based on kind of the rust that you saw. But yeah, it's everything's in front of us right now, and this is going to be the true test of this team. Do we belong in the playoffs or do we not?
He was 70%.
Okay.
The 70% of the defensive plays.
So okay, so that's pretty up there. So they didn't really hold them back too much.
Well, Holton Hill, by the way, 100% of the defensive plays.
Yeah, he's. I think he's going to be good along with Mike Hughes when he gets back. So, everything's in front of this team. Like I said, this next stretch is going to define whether we belong in the playoffs or not. And if we do, we'll play good football. We'll play sound football. We'll play mistake-free football, and we should have no problem at least getting 6-2 in these last 8 games. I think that should realistically, if you're making the playoffs, that should be what you're aiming for. You should be aiming for a 10-5-1. I think you get there at 9-5-1.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really going to depend on, you know, who those wins and losses are against, right?
Obviously, if you lose a lot to the division, you're going to be in trouble with that.
Yeah. Yep. So. You know, if you're going to lose a game here down the stretch, you know, losing at New England, isn't going to be the end of the world. You know, actually, you're probably that's
out of one conference. Of the ones, that's probably the one you're okay with.
Yep, exactly. You know, if you said, "Hey, we have to give you another loss. Where do you want it to be?" Well, you might as well take the New England or the Miami game.
Right.
You know, so but we'll see. It starts Sunday. I think that this can be a great kind of launch point or catapult into the bye. Get them feeling really good and excited to go into work. You know, with that bye week, I know obviously usually guys get time to, you know, get away for a little bit, but I think get some positivity, some optimism moving into that second half of the schedule. And then, like we said, it's the gauntlet right out the gate. You know, you got 3 of 4 on the road against some pretty good teams. So we got to figure it out soon, and they got to start putting it all together. So we'll see.
Absolutely, and hopefully this time we can rename Ford Field West to U.S. Bank Stadium finally.
Yeah, let's see. See if that works.
We'll give it our best try, and you know that's all we can ask for. I think that's it for me. Any closing thoughts, Mike?
No, I don't think so. I'm on to Detroit.
We're on to Detroit. We're on to Detroit.
Yeah.
All right, that's gonna do it for us, Scolders Podcast. I'm at Namok7 on the Twitter. Mike.
Muskie_Mike.
On Scolders.com, climbingthepocket.com, on the Climbing the Pocket network here. Take a listen over there. They got some good stuff going on. We'll probably talk at you next time for a Detroit preview, and hopefully we can take care of that business. So, Skol Vikes, man. Let's go get this thing.
Yep. Skol.